All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew for the message this evening. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 2. And I want to read tonight the account of the wise men coming from the east and looking, searching for the Savior. So I'll begin reading in verse 1, and you follow along as I read. I'll read all the way down to verse 12, so you follow along in your Bible as I read. Verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." All right, so wise men from the east. Now notice it does not say there came three. It says there came wise men. Men is plural. It's not a wise man, but wise men came, and they came from the east to Jerusalem. Now it is believed that these wise men were from Babylon, from Chaldea, and that they were men who studied the sky and followed the stars in the sky, kept tabs on everything. Then if you look at verse 2, when they got to Jerusalem, this was their purpose. They said in verse 2, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now let me remind you that they came to Herod and asked this question. All right, they came to the center of town and looked up King Herod and then asked him that question and realized that Herod was the king in Israel. He was the king in the land of the Jews. And so here are these men asking, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, that's the Messiah, where Messiah should be born. So in other words, King Herod is wanting to know, what does the Old Testament, what do the prophets have to say about where the Messiah should be born? And they said unto him in verse 5, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And this prophet was Micah. You'll find this prophecy in the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. And here's what Micah said. He said, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently and for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now notice that does not say baby. Notice that does not say infant. No, it was the star came and stood over where the young child was. And so when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Not her, him. All right? And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on the wise men. Excuse me. I want to talk to you tonight about the wise men and their visit to Israel to find the King, the Lord Jesus. All right, let's pray and ask God to bless the message and then the message. Now, our Father, we ask for your richest blessings upon your word tonight. These wise men have always intrigued your people. And Father, we ask that you will bless tonight as we think about them and just get a little understanding of what these men coming represented. And I ask you to help me as I speak. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, may you just have your way in our hearts this evening. Guide and direct us now and bless us. And we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We all know that the Holy Spirit has given us four gospels. And each of these four gospels have their own flavor, and they have their own purpose for which they were written. Just to review with you, for just to remind you, Matthew, the gospel where we are tonight, Matthew presents the Lord Jesus as the King. Everything in the book of Matthew is pointing to the kingship of the Lord Jesus, the fact that he is the King who will sit down upon the throne of David and rule and reign the world for during the 1,000-year millennial reign. So everything in Matthew has to do with viewing the Lord Jesus as the King. And then Mark is presenting Christ as the servant. He is the servant of man. And then Luke presents the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. You'll remember probably the most famous verse in the Gospel of Luke is the one that says that that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come, Luke said, to seek and to save that which is lost. And then, of course, you have John, the fourth gospel. And the Gospel of John spends every moment presenting the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, as deity, the fact that he is God in the flesh. Now, there is something very intriguing here in the book of Matthew about these wise men. You would think that maybe the story of the wise men should have been told to us by Luke. Luke, as I just told you, emphasizes all through his gospel that Jesus came for the whole of mankind. Matthew has a very distinctive Jewish flavor to it. The book of Matthew, very distinctive Jewish flavor to it. And to some, it seems odd that these Gentiles, and that's what these wise men were, they were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And it seems odd to folks that that these Gentiles would show up in Matthew's presentation of the Jewish Messiah. But when you think about it, God called Abraham and made of him a great nation and told him that Israel was to be a light to all the rest of the world. And so I think that is why the story of the wise men is included in the Gospel of Matthew, the book that tells us about the fact that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, there's something interesting about these men who came from the East. I have always been intrigued by them. And the reason that I have been intrigued by them is because of the lack of information that we have about these men. Where were they from? Well, all we know is that they were from the East. We do not have a city or a country where they came from. No, we were just simply told that they came from the East. How long did they travel? Well, Matthew doesn't tell us that either. The estimation is that they traveled for 2 years because they come to where the Lord Jesus is in the house, not in the stable. He's in the house. So he's not in Bethlehem. They started towards Bethlehem, but then the star guided them northward, and they went into the city of Nazareth where Joseph and Mary lived. And when they knocked on the door, the Lord Jesus was not an infant. He was not a baby, but he was as the scriptures tell us, a young child. And that's why in verse 16 that King Herod sent down to the city of Bethlehem, to the little town of Bethlehem, and had all of the babies, notice this, 2 years and under murdered, so that the king would not make it to his throne. And so it is believed that they traveled for 2 years to get here. That would make sense. I personally believe that on the night that our Savior was born in Bethlehem, that was the first day, the first night that they saw the star, and they followed that star. And eventually, after 2 years of searching, they ended up in the city of Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to Nazareth, where they found the infant or the young child, not the infant. All right, so what do we know about him? Well, that's not much if you want to know the truth. There's much speculation about them, but we do not have too much information. How big was their caravan? We don't know that either. How many of them were there? Well, we don't know that either. Of course, the hymn that we sing, "We Three Kings," that's speculation completely. How many of them were they? Well, were there? Well, they traveled about 500 miles or so. And coming across the highway of the kings, you certainly would not come across the highway of the kings with a caravan full of spices and full of gold and and not come in a large group where you could defend one another and defend what you were carrying across the desert. So there were three gifts presented, all right? And so a lot of folks think that there were only three wise men who came. I personally think that there was many. I think it was a large caravan that came across the desert, and I believe that that they were more, certainly more than just three. And so they just simply show up. They humbly present their gifts. And then they silently just disappear. And that's all the information that we have about them. There is so much speculation about them. And, you know, who knows everything that is to be known about them? Well, nobody, because the Word of God did not go into detail. The main thing in this story is not the wise men. The main thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think the Holy Spirit of God wants us to focus and concentrate on these wise men. I think that He wants us to focus and concentrate on the Savior. Now, if you go over to Europe, to the city of Cologne, Germany, there is a cathedral over there that claims to know everything there is to know about these wise men. For a small fee, of course, they will take you or tell you that there were three of them. They'll go into great detail explaining to you that there were only three of these wise men. And what is so ironic, because it's not in the Bible, but what is so ironic is they will even tell you the names of the wise men. Now, how they got that information is beyond me. And so when I tell you that, that they will even tell you their names, I do so with a wink, wink, and a nod, nod. And then if you pay a little bit extra of a fee, you can go and see their bones, all right? Their bones. They've been buried, quote unquote, buried in this cathedral, and they are resting behind a very ornate and elaborate altar that was built in their honor. Now, folks, listen, all the information we have about these guys are right here in the book of Matthew. And it's not going to do any good to fabricate a bunch of stuff about these men, because we certainly just do not know. It's amazing, but how much more impressive is it that the Holy Spirit didn't give us every little detail and left out of the story so much, all right? I think it's very impressive. Sometimes, listen carefully, sometimes the half is better than the whole. And that is certainly the case with these wise men. I'll guarantee you, if God had gone into greater detail about these men, you would see churches named after them. You would see them becoming, you know, worshiped around the world. I'll guarantee you that is what foolish men would have done if God had given us any more details. Now, what I want to do this evening is I want to speak to, of these wise men as a picture. I want to show you that them coming in the story, them coming to see the king, they represent a couple of certain things about men and about this world that we live in. All right. First of all, I want you to see that that these wise men represent the universal need of all men. Who were these fellows? Well, we simply do not know all the details. In all probability, they were Persians, in all probability, who were studying the ancient in the ancient Babylonian schools, whose astronomy was half astrology and half just looking up to notice from evening to evening if there was anything different in the night sky. All right, they did not have telescopes. They did not have satellites up to give an idea or give a picture of what the universe looked like. But they nonetheless saw the sky and figured that the sky had some kind of meaning. And so they studied the stars and studied the skies. Now, regardless, it is clear that they were led by God through their science, through their understanding of the heavens. They were led by God through their own science, through what they knew. These men stood nightly and they watched the night sky, and they mapped the stars and the constellations, and they marked the planets, and they studied the moon's phases and all the rest as the months passed. When suddenly God sent them a star. God sent them a star, a sign, if you will. And not only did he send them a star, but he sent them the understanding behind that star. You say, well, what understanding was that? They understood that the star that they saw represented the king that was coming. They understood that. You say, well, Pastor, where did they get that knowledge? Well, they got that knowledge from the Jews when Nebuchadnezzar came and captured the Jews and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and carried back the sons and the daughters, the young people, carried them back from Jerusalem and took them to Babylon. And so when these young wise students, and I think that it's pretty clear that the Babylonians only took the best of the best, the brightest of the bright. And when these young people left Jerusalem and went to Babylon, they took the scriptures with them. They took the Old Testament scriptures with them. And so my guess is these wise men were familiar with all of the prophecies that are in the Old Testament scriptures about the King, the Lord Jesus, and when they saw the star, they associated that star with the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, you think about that, folks. The common thinking is that they followed this star for 2 years, and then when they came to Israel, they went straight to the city of Jerusalem to inquire from the old king where the new king was could be found. Now, the thing of it is, The old king had no clue what they were talking about. All right? The old king, King Herod, he didn't like it at all that a new king had been born. And so he didn't like it that that king that was born was responsible for the star that that led them to come from the east. And so that anger that was in his heart led him to tell the soldiers to go down to Bethlehem and kill all the babies under the age of two. Look at verse 4 and look at verse 6. It says that when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Messiah Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah. So right there, folks, is the prophecy, and the scribes knew it, and they told Herod, they told him what the Bible said, and that dirty, rotten Herod then told the wise men, and he said to the wise men, now look, fellas, go down to Bethlehem, and when you have found him, bring me word again so that I can worship him also. And of course, that was a lie. He had no intentions of going to worship the Son of God. The scribes knew that Bethlehem was the place. And so Herod thought that he'll just get these men to go down, find him, and then come back and report to him that they had found him, and then he would go down and kill the king. And so what happened is when they went out, instead of turning south and going down to Bethlehem, they turned north and they went up to Nazareth to the house where the young child was. You'll notice in verse 11, look at it. It says, and when they were come into the house, not the stable, the Lord Jesus was born in the stable. But they did not stay in Bethlehem. They left Bethlehem and they went back to where they lived in Nazareth. And that's where the wise men found the King of Kings. They did not arrive the night that he was born. You say, but Pastor, my nativity scene has three wise men sitting on a candle on a camel and holding their presents. Well, I know what your nativity scene says, but the Bible says that that they came to the house, not to the stable where he was born. This house was back in the city of Nazareth, where Joseph and Mary lived, where they were living at the time. And if you look carefully at the verse, it says that when they came into the house, they fell down and worshiped him, not her, but him. You see, they believed what the Bible said. They believed that he was who he claimed to be. And they came and they worshiped him. They did not worship Mary. And folks, the point is, these men were led of God to look for the truth and to eventually find the truth. Paul said, salvation is of the Jews. Now, that does not mean that only Jews can be saved, but it means that the Savior of the world came through the promise that God gave to Abraham and to the nation that came from Abraham's seed. That nation, of course, is Israel. Now, these men stand as representatives of that great truth that the Lord Jesus came and died for all of mankind. The Bible is very clear on that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jew, Gentile, red, yellow, black, white, they are precious in his sight. But notice that they are representative of the universal need of man. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are, what you are, what color your skin is. It doesn't make any difference about your education. It doesn't make any difference about any of that. The only thing that we all have in common is we all have a need for the Savior. And so that's why they came. They are representing to us the need of the world. You see, all men have the same need, and that need is a Savior. They ask the question that all wise men ought to ask. Where is he? Where is he? You see, they are confessions of man's need. And Christianity is the supply of that need. When they came into the house where the young child was, that would be the king, they worshiped him. Folks, there is no indication of any hesitancy on their part. No, when they came into the house, they fell down and worshiped him. God had revealed him. God had led them, and God had directed them at every step of the way. So when they saw him, they were convinced that he was the one that they were searching for. And folks, you have seen the Christmas card that says, "Wise men still seek him." And that's true, is it not? I mean, this story is placed here in Matthew to show us that all men everywhere have the same need. And the Lord Jesus is the answer to that universal need. Oh, that someone would hear me tonight, that someone would listen to the message tonight, and then ask the question that these men asked. Pastor, where is he? Where is he? Well, praise the Lord, the cradle and the cross are heaven's answer to that question. Second thing I want you to consider. Secondly, represented in these wise men is the sad contrast of Jewish unbelief and Gentile belief. Jewish unbelief and Gentile belief. Do you remember what John said? John said in his introduction, in the prologue of his book, that the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. You see, when you read this story, you cannot help but see the concern between the Gentiles' eagerness to worship the King of Israel with the alarm of his own people at the mere whisper of his name. And I think that this is a prelude to the tragedy of his rejection by his own people, even though his birth shows him to be the true promised Messiah. You see, his own people were troubled. We read that here in the verse, that when those wise men came into the city, that not only was Herod fearful, but the people were fearful. I mean, they came in not mincing words. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And of course, they didn't want anything to upset their apple cart. They didn't want anything to interfere with their religion. And so they did not believe. They rejected the question. They rejected the message that they brought. You see, even in birth, this truth shows itself. His own people were troubled at the announcement of his birth, while the Gentiles from hundreds of miles away came across the desert looking for him. Now you think about that, folks. That shows you a contrast that is consistent throughout the pages of the Gospels. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But here's the good news. But to as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So notice the contrast. Not only do we see a contrast between the wise men and the Jewish people, but there is also a contrast between Herod the king and the king of the Jews, the Lord Jesus himself. You see, this Herod was a ruthless, murderous, conniving, heartless individual. And like most kings, he was given the name. You know, they all have something attached to their name to describe them. And they called this one Herod the Great. Why did they call him Herod the Great? Well, because he ruled with such a strong hand, but also because he built a lot of things in the country, especially in Jerusalem. He did repair work on the temple. I mean, he did a lot of things to try to get the folks to follow him and to like him. But he was a snake in the grass. You can be assured of that. He was fierce. He was brutal. He was always consistently doing things to establish his rule and his power over people. This man, you're going to love this. This man even executed his own sons. Now you think of that. How could you kill your own child? But King Herod did. You say, well, why would he kill his own sons? Because he did not want them to get older in life and take away his throne. So what Herod did was had his own sons executed just to make sure that no one would steal away his throne. And folks, this evil man wanted nothing to do with the new king of the Jews. News came of the coming of the king, and that should have brought joy and excitement to everyone in Jerusalem. I mean, everybody that lived in that city should have just been excited beyond anything that they had ever experienced before. But the fact that this king was coming had been spoken of throughout the Old Testament. Man, that should have just made everybody rejoice. That should have made everybody stand in line and say, where is he? Let's have him. Let's get him here. But you know that an evil conscience is always full of fears, and it will always resist the good news that the King of Kings is at hand. But even more tragic was the fact that all of Jerusalem shared in the king's fears. That's what we're told in the verses that I read for you tonight. Even the people were afraid. These wise men naturally made a beeline for Israel's ancient capital, Jerusalem. And I'll guarantee you that they discussed it among themselves and said, wow, can you imagine how exciting everything is going to be when we get there? Can you just imagine how the people are going to be so happy knowing that their king has been born? I'm sure that they were talking about all about it on the way in. And yet, when they got to the city, they found in Jerusalem that no one knew anything about the newborn king. How sad is that? Nobody. I mean, just imagine it, folks. They saw his star in the east. They followed his star. They came to Jerusalem expecting the whole city to feel the same way they felt. But instead, when they got into the city, no one knew anything about their king. Nobody knew anything. They probably, as they walked marched through the streets of Jerusalem, I can see them now looking down at some rabbi and saying, hey, where's the king of the Jews? Where's the king that was born? Where is he? And I'm sure the rabbis just looked away and scoffed at them. They did not know. Nobody knew. You see, in the east, where Gentile darkness ruled, they had light. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because they had the light of scriptures. And those scriptures shined the path for them to follow so that they could get to the King of Kings. Nobody in Jerusalem knew anything about him. They were in complete and total darkness. But what a contrast, folks. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And still today, the Jews do not have belief in the Lord Jesus as a people. But thank God, the gospel was given to the apostles, and they took that gospel into the uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, if it had not been for God calling the apostle Paul, we here in America would have never heard the gospel, because those Jews who experienced firsthand the King of Kings, they rejected the gospel. But thank God, the Apostle Paul brought the gospel out of Jerusalem, and they went into the known world preaching that gospel. And then eventually, that gospel got from Europe over here to America, and thank God it did. All right, and then lastly, I want you to see in these wise men, I want you to see that they represent the contrast between faith and religion. Faith and religion. You see, what the wise men followed was the light that they had been given. They acted on faith. They were given light from God, and they acted upon that light. But now think about Herod and the religionists in Jerusalem. They followed their religion, and they were not about to change. They had no intentions of changing and following the newborn king. They had no intentions at all. Look at the religion that we find in that they found in Jerusalem. Just look at that religion. In the story, are three groups of people that were discovered or were seen or were found in Jerusalem. Herod, of course, is there. Then we have the religionist. We have the, in verse 4, we have the chief priest and the scribes. So there's the religionist of the day. And then thirdly, the people. Now, Herod's God was himself, and he was not about to change God. When the wise men showed up in Jerusalem and they asked, where is the newborn king of the Jews? Where could he be found? Well, Herod acted like he wanted to find him so that he could go and worship him as well. But he did not want to worship him. Herod wanted to kill him. Herod had no intentions of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, our world today is filled with people whose God is themselves. Their God is themselves. They have no time for the God of heaven. They have no time for the King of Kings because they refuse to share the throne of their life with anyone else. So they want nothing to do with the Lord, just like King Herod. What a contrast between the two. But then secondly, the religionist, and that's in verse 4, you see the chief priest and the scribes of the people. Well, the religionists, they're too busy being religious to care about the fact that the king was born. They were quite sure he was born, and they knew where he was born, but they did not have enough care to go and see for themselves. They were satisfied with their own religion, and they felt that it was all they needed. They did not need a Messiah. They did not need a king. They were satisfied with their old, dried up, dead Judaism, with all of its thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and with all of its works and its outward pious displays of faith. But that's all they were, pious displays. They were all excited about their religion without a sacrifice. Folks, don't forget that Jeremiah, just before the Babylonians came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah took the Ark of the Covenant that was in the temple. He took it out, he removed it, and he hid it so that nobody, none of the Babylonians would be able to find it. And so the Jews, the religionists, were just satisfied with their dried up, dead, do-nothing religion. But by contrast, let's look at the response of the wise men. They found out that the king was to be born in Bethlehem. So they left Jerusalem and headed the 6 miles or so south. Now, how far down the road did they get? I don't know. But suddenly, the star appeared and led them north to Nazareth. And these Gentiles, these men who were searching and looking for the light, for the truth, these men who were looking for a Savior, they saw the light from God in the star, and they followed it, and when they followed what God gave them, they found the King of Kings. You see, following the light they were given, they eventually found the truth. In the east, they saw the star, and they followed that star. And that star led them to Jerusalem, where they got even more sure word from the scribes, and so they followed that. Where did the scribes get their information that they passed on to Herod? Well, the scribes got it from Micah, from the Old Testament. So they saw the star, and they came. And then in Jerusalem, they got more light. God saw to it that they got more light from him. And they said that he would be born in Bethlehem. And so the star led them, and then they got an even more sure word of prophecy from the scribes and the book of Micah, and their diligence paid off because they followed what they understood, what God had showed them, and eventually ended up in Nazareth, standing before where the young child was. You see, folks, I guess the point is that he that is faithful to his use of even the dimmest of light will find, as he is walking in that limited light, that the light is only going to increase. God will show you the way. God will reveal to you what you need to know so that you can get to know him. So look at how God did this. In Persia, science was their God. Science was their God. Science did not lead them to Christ, however, by itself. Science led them to the Word of God, which confirmed what their science had taught them. And what their science had taught them was what led them to Christ. You see, folks, wise men still seek him. Where is he? Well, if you are listening to me tonight and you're looking for light, would you let the light of God's eternal word speak to your heart? You see, these men, these wise men, found what they were searching for. They sought what they were looking for. God made it available to them to find what they were looking for. And they came all that way looking for the King of Kings, and lo and behold, they found him. Now, I'll guarantee you, if you're looking for the Lord tonight, I don't know who's listening. I have no way of knowing who's listening. But there may be someone listening to me tonight, and you're looking for something. You say, Pastor, I'm searching for something. I don't know what I'm searching for. I'll tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for truth. You're looking for light. And what does the Bible say? Well, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. And so what you're looking for is the Lord Jesus. The question is, will you believe him? Thank God for these wise men. I find them just absolutely intriguing. Everything about them, to me, is amazing. And when I get to heaven one of these days, I'm just going to go up to them and say, hey, what'd you guys talk about when you left Nazareth and you started back towards Babylon? What was the conversation? Can you tell me? And I'll guarantee you that they were not disappointed when they saw the King of Kings. And I'm telling you, dear friend, you won't be disappointed either. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you now so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts tonight. Father, there may be someone listening tonight who is not 100% sure they're saved. So, Father, I pray that you will convict that soul of their sin and help them to realize that what they're looking for is right in front of them. It's the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, speak to their hearts. I pray that if someone needs the Lord, that they'll get in touch with us, that they'll make a phone call, they'll send an email, they'll stop by tomorrow. But Father, I pray that someone will see their need and realize that the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, is the only solution to what is bothering them. They need the Savior. So Father, speak to hearts, and I pray that you'll bring much fruit as a result of what we have heard this evening. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.